today on Real Radio.
Walter Martin said, "We, the Christian church, are the only group of people that shoot their own wounded." Isn't that sick? How do you respond to somebody who's falling down or someone who's sinning, who's a brother or a sister? There's a way.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called Church, Jesus Style, Part 1, continues in a series entitled Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering verse 1 of Galatians chapter 6 today. We cannot be saved from our sin just by being good or by obeying the law. We can only be saved by believing in Jesus Christ and only in Him. In Galatians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul warns us that those who do not live by the Holy Spirit but gratify themselves in all manner of sinful desires will not inherit the kingdom of God. In chapter 6, Paul now shows us what a church should look like. The church is to be a family centered on others, a living body that finds fulfillment not in gratifying ourselves, but all those who are in the body of Christ. Today, on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that legalism holds down and drowns the sinner, but love lifts up and stabilizes the sinner. We are to love the sinner back into fellowship God's way, and that is through the spirit of gentleness, should we also find ourselves tempted by sin. And now, continuing his lesson called Church, Jesus Style, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
The church is alive. When the Bible says brethren, always mark it, because that means, listen, it means you and me and the people around us. We are alive. God help us if we're a church that parks our car, we run into a building, sit down, and then run out, and we never interact. That would not be a church. I don't know what that would be. It would be a freak, though. It can't be called a church. We're to know, we're to love, we're to exchange life with each other. The church is living. It's to be a living body. That's how we love on others. It's tremendous. I pray often that God would baptize you with this mindset of getting to know one another. I pray this a lot, because it's possible, though this auditorium is not all that big, it is possible that Richard over here to my right may not be able to meet up with Mark on my left, and they may not even know any other. They may not know that either other exists. But you know what? During fellowship time, and you know, I'm so glad that the new church is getting, you know, up there and stuff, because we're going to have so many areas where we can gather together and meet after service. Even while second service or third service comes in, we can still hang out in fellowship under the trees or in the courtyard or at any one of the kiosks or whatever in fellowship. The design of the church was created in such a way because you guys are alive. If we wanted it any different, assuming you were dead, we'd make the thing look like a coffin. You could come in and lay down, get a little transfusion, and then get up and go. No, the way the building was built was to encourage you interacting with one another. There's going to be grass areas in the courtyard, and there's going to be soft music playing, and the trees, what? What's the trees for? Honestly, that you might stand under the shade and fellowship with one another. What's the grass for? So that you would sit down and talk to each other, or maybe the young people would like to pluck their guitars and sing songs in that area. Well, what are the barbecues out there for? So you'll fellowship after service with each other. What are all the exits for? So you can spend more time fellowshipping and then get out with a hurry. Not have to wait forever to get out of the place, you know. All built to fellowship. I love it. The church is alive. And listen, the second consideration is this. The church is a loving body. How so? Can you mark it? Don't raise your hand. Are you visiting today? Do not raise your hand. We're glad you're here. But personally, visit churches. And visit them a few times. Don't visit them once. Visit them a few times and begin to take its pulse. Take the pulse of the people. Are they loving? If they're not loving, go find a church that's loving. Biblical first, of course, but loving. Why? It says, if a man is overtaken in any trespass. First of all, let's look at the word overtaken. The church must be loving because the word overtaken here implies to every one of us, and it means this. It means to be taken by surprise, to be knocked off the path. You ever been knocked off the path? It means to fall into a lapsed state or a deviation, unintentionally is also implied here, to be deceived. Very powerful. Overtaken. To fall to the attack. The word trespass here means to sideslip. What's a sideslip? Interesting, the word is not backslide. It means to sideslip. What does sideslip mean in the Bible? It means a willful or unintentional sin. It means to fall or to fault or to offend God or someone else. It means to trespass, which you know what that means, to cross over the fence, to go over the line. Now, listen, which one of us in this room does not understand what that means, either in thought or in deed? We all know what that means. So watch this. Paul is contrasting the legalism of the Judaizers in the book of Galatians to those who really know God. The fruit of the Spirit will flow from their life. The number one thing will be what? Remember last time we were together? It's love. How is that experienced? Are you ready? Because in the church, there will be people who fall down. They'll get hurt. They'll fall into sin. They'll get tripped up by being deceived, whatever it might be. Man, you guys are quiet. Are you guys awake? Are you okay? I'm on New York time, so I've been up forever, and I'm used to honking horns and all that kind of stuff. I'm kind of pumped up here. And if you're walking on a path and something, you slip, something gets you off the path, what's the church to do? Well, a legalistic church would say, hey, you just fell off the path. Look at you, you bum. Get out of this church. Go from here. We are the holy molies, the super dupers, you know. You have fallen. Go away from here. That's not what the Bible says. It says, first of all, that any one of us can be sideslipped or deceived. It can be in thought or it can be in deed. So never in this church, ever, should anyone ever look at you from down their sloped, self-righteous snout and say to you, well, you know, if you were spiritual, that wouldn't have happened. Or some arrogant, condescending statement. People trip up, but how does the church respond? Walter Martin said, we, the Christian church, are the only group of people that shoot their own wounded. Isn't that sick? How do you respond to somebody who's falling down or someone who's sinning, who's a brother or a sister? There's a way. First of all, he tells us that the body's to be loving. If you approach a brother or a sister in a non-loving manner regarding them being in sin, you know what? You are absolutely misrepresenting God. Just stay out of it. Let God deal with them. Just you stay out of it. Well, I thought that God called me to be a fault finder. No, he didn't. I thought he called me to be a sin sniffer. No, he didn't. Nope. And take note, by the way, circle. I tell you, this sounds, when you read it, what it looks like, and that is a bucket of ice-cold water being poured out onto somebody who's greatly, greatly in need of water and of having their thirst quenched. It says here, if a man is overtaken, what does the word say? Any trespass. Can you circle that word, any? What have you done, Christian? Paul says, you know what? There's a way out for you. There's a way to come back. That's good news. Yeah, but you know what? I did this one sin, and I don't think God will ever accept me back. Wrong. Any trespass. A loving church. Overtaken in a trespass. Well, we look also to the latter end of verse 1. It says to us here that a church Jesus style is a church of others. Yes, It's a church that's legal-less. It's a body of believers who's legal-less. Do you understand? Do you hear what I'm saying? Not legalistic, but has no longer any appetite to be involved in legalism because the church has found out through experience that legalism kills. It says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Mark the word restore. This is a great word. Those of you who are mechanically inclined, you're going to know immediately the meaning of this word. The word in Greek is pneumatic. Pneumatic. Pneuma. It means to not be carnal, but it means to be ethereal or supernatural or Christ-minded, spiritually driven. The church is to be pneumatic, wind-driven. Wind-driven? Holy Spirit-driven. You who are spiritual, who are the ones, listen, who are the ones that are spiritual in this church? It will be those who are bent on restoring brothers and sisters biblically. And I have to underline biblically because there's a opponent. There's an opponent to this biblical restoration. It's those who just have a warm and fuzzy feeling that everybody should just kind of get along. He just murdered somebody, but it's okay. Let's just love one another. And he can't just stop sleeping around, but you know, we'll just love him. That's not loving him. Did you know that? You may feel like that's loving him, but that's not loving him. That's endangering him more and more. And boy, this leads us to a topic that churches do not want to talk about. We are not a legalistic church. By the grace of God, as long as I'm alive, we will not be a legalistic church. Paul is going to teach us here that there's a way to restore a brother. How do you really, if you love someone, restore them? There's a way. It doesn't mean you turn your head away from what they're doing wrong. That's evil. It means that by the grace of God, you restore such a one. And the word restore means this. It means to bring back to completion, to get them back on the course. It means to repair like new. It means to revive them again. It's an effort, but it's a good one. Legalism holds down someone and drowns them. Legalism drowns the sinner. Love lifts up and stabilizes the sinner. Did you know that? Listen, do you remember when in any situation that you have encountered in the past where your heart was right, toward it or toward them or toward him or toward her, your heart was right between God, and when it's right between you and God, it's right with people. He'll see to that, that all was well. And listen, when all is well, if my walk is well with God, and Jim, if you were to offend me, because my walk was right with God, my heart, God would say to it, you know what? Go talk to Jim. He offended you. Maybe there's something wrong. Maybe Jim needs prayer or encouragement. Why would I even think that thought? Because that's not characteristic of the believer walking with God. Something's plaguing Jim. Maybe something produced that response. He's out of character as a Christian. I'm going to go talk to him. I go to him because I am persuaded of better things concerning Jim. Are you with me, everybody? And so I talk with him. I go to him in a spirit of gentleness. Why? My intention is to restore him. How does that apply to me? How do we do this as a church? Christian, listen up. You who are spiritual, restore such a one. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 11, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. What do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go after the one who is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices over that one sheep, over the 99 that did not go astray. Even so it is. Not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, don't raise your hand, but Christian, has a brother ever hurt you, upset you, or offended you, or sinned against you, or a sister? Go to him, go to her, and tell him or tell her the fault. Between you and him alone, Jesus said. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. The word is won your brother back. But if he will not hear you, take with you a witness or two. By the way, also spiritual people, not big mouths or blabber mouths. That by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear you still, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like an unbeliever or like a tax collector, like an IRS agent. Let him be to you like an unbeliever. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. By the way, that verse is used regarding spiritual discipline in the church. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Again, this verse is used regarding church discipline. For where there are two or three gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall I forgive the brother who sins against me? Shall I forgive him seven times? I'm sure Peter thought he was being very generous. He's probably looking at all the rest of the guys. Jesus, do you want me to forgive him seven times? Did you hear that, James? Seven times. I'm willing to forgive people seven times who sin against me. Jesus says, not seven times, but 70 times seven. In other words, an infinite amount of times forgive a brother. So let me ask you, has anyone hurt you? You're commanded by Jesus to forgive them. Number one, forgive them. Number two, go to them in love. Talk to them. Not legalistically, but legalessly. Reach them. Why? Win them back to Jesus. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. Jack, you surely don't mean the person I can't stand. You're not talking about that person. That's exactly who I'm talking about. The person you can't stand. The person that drives you up the wall. The person that said that thing about you. Go to them. Why? It's the nature of Jesus to do such a thing. He says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness. The word gentleness here is a picture of nursing a little calf to full maturity, or a little lamb to full maturity. Again, reach out to them. Calvary Chapel, if we do not do that, we are hypocrites. And we're false. Love them back to God. Do you know a person who's committing any one of those sins that are related here in chapter 5 that claims to be a believer? Then this is what we do. We reach out to them. But we reach out to them in a certain way. We end with this consideration. In a spirit of gentleness, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted. How so? Lowly. Write that down. Lowly. The church is to be a lowly or humble or meek body of people. Meek. Lowly. That's the nature of Jesus. Do you ever see in your Bible, when you read it, Jesus shaking his finger at some woman caught in the act of adultery? No. Do you see Jesus shaking his finger at some man who is guilty of sin and thus he's paralyzed? No. Who do you find wagging their fingers? The legalists in Jesus' day, don't you? By the way, it's the same today. If this church is filled with the love of God, we will not be pointing to people. We will be reaching out to them. Now, you may have formed a picture in your mind that because this is what we're teaching this morning, that we're just supposed to turn our eyes away from somebody who's living in sin. No, I'm going to ask you to jot down a very, very important thing. This is what we as a church and they as a believer must encounter. Number one, in loving them back, this must happen. They, the sinning brother or sister, must realize their sin. Mark it down. It doesn't mean that you are going to go there and get them into a headlock and choke them until they fess up. Have you ever seen those movies? You see, and I don't mean to slam anybody particularly, it just comes to my mind, where you see people, they'll go into a confessional, because they're supposed to, and they'll make up stuff. I actually had somebody told me that they would lie in confession because they couldn't think of the sin that they had done that week, so they would make stuff up so that they could tell the priest something. So in their confessing, they're lying. And oh, by the way, Father, forgive me because I'm actually lying right now about the things I've been confessing. It's like, what? No, you don't bend somebody's neck around until you try to get a confession out of them. Well, how do they realize their sin? Are you ready, everybody? You and I need to pray for them. Pray that God would open up their eyes. Do you know somebody who's sinning? How about this? You know somebody who's logging on to sites they ought not to go to, or talking to this person and that 900 number, or visiting this or doing that? If you suspect such a thing, bow your sweet little head, fold your little hands and say, Father, I ask you to take Billy Bob, and the next time he goes to such and such a place, or if they're together again, cause them to both get violently ill. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. It's called imprecatory prayer. David, King David, did it all the time. Father, how great thou art. I love thee, for thou inhabitest eternity. And Lord, concerning those who attack me, break off their teeth in their mouth, David prayed. Isn't that funny? Break their teeth off in their mouth. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Say, you got to be kidding me. No. Didn't Paul say, concerning Alexander the coppersmith who did me much harm, may God reward him according to his works. That's what Paul prayed. May the Lord slap that guy. Well, listen, concerning the brother, we can go to them and say, listen, I just want you to know, I know what you're involved in. Something's not straight with you and God. I love you. My lips are sealed. I'm praying for you. And then walk away. Let the Holy Spirit work on them. Let the Spirit of God cause them and bring them to the place of realizing. Okay? Number two, jot it down. They must repent before God. You can't repent for them. They must repent. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 teaches us that God will not hear their prayers, even though they know God, because he's waiting for the line of communication to be wiped clean again.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Church Jesus Style, Part 1. Thanks for listening, and let us love one another as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Church Jesus Style, Part 1. It's part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. It's a series that brings God's gospel of grace to light in a world that preaches a false gospel of works. Today was day 2 of this lesson, and we'll continue with more on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, you know, around here at Real Radio, we work real hard to provide tools and resources to help you grow in your walk with God. And we think you're really going to like the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. It gives you tons of resources right there at your fingertips. This ministry, quite frankly, values your time, and hopefully you do too. So why don't you use some of that time with the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet? Tons of video and content available for you, like the Real Life TV broadcast, the Real Radio daily audio broadcasts, and Pastor Jack's weekly devotions right there. I hope you already have the Real Life app on your smartphone or tablet, but if you don't, go to your app store and get it, the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. And by the way, you know, we don't ask for money here on this program, but we do want to let you know that this ministry is supported by our listeners, folks that listen to this radio show. Now, if you'd like to donate to this ministry, you can do it at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Or if you'd like, you can download the Real Life app for your smartphone or tablet. There is a simple, easy way on the app to donate to this ministry. Thanks for your continued support. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.